to you this morning. Mike comes to us as the Director of Church Relations at Point University. He's relatively new in our community, so you'll want to welcome him with a handshake of Christian fellowship. As Mike, come and bring us the message this morning.
And I forgot to turn this on. They told me I had to turn it on. I knew I'd forget it. So, all right. There we go. Hey, glad to be with you this morning. We are new. We've been here just a week. We moved to LaGrange for one purpose, and that was to be near my grandchildren. My son is a chief academic officer at Point University, and so we decided to move to LaGrange. He lives on the lake here, and so we're near our two grandchildren, and we're excited. We just have finished a ministry in Milledgeville, Georgia, and the way that I got hooked up with you guys is Eric and Joy Mosley were in our church in Milledgeville, and they've moved here, and he's your county manager, so I'm excited to be with you. It is Father's Day, and my lesson today that I'm going to teach is about being productive. And if you're a father, you've been productive, all right? And that's a good thing. And so we celebrate you today, and we're going to talk a little bit about that idea of being productive. So we're going to be in Mark, the fourth chapter. I grew up in Florida, and in the backyard of my house, we had these oranges. We had orange trees, and so when I wanted an orange, I would go out and pick it. Now, what you guys don't know is this orange really looks very nice, but the oranges from my orange tree that were in my yard didn't look this good. These have been sprayed. They've had chemicals put all over them, but when you ate one out of the tree in my backyard, it tasted so much differently. But you know what would happen to the trees in our yard is that they would die because we didn't spray them, and they would get diseased. But you know what we would do then? We would get the chainsaw out, and we would cut it down, and then we'd use that wood to cook over, because orange wood or grapefruit wood or wood from a lemon tree, it gives you the best flavor to your food. Now, that sounds a little harsh, doesn't it? Just because it didn't produce fruit, would we want to cut it down? Absolutely. It was doing nothing. In fact, that's what Jesus taught. You remember he was walking into Jerusalem with his disciples. They see a fig tree off in the distance. And as they're looking at it off in the distance, their mouths begin to water. And they get there, and it looked like it's supposed to have fruit, but there wasn't any fruit on it. There wasn't any fruit on it. And so what did he do? He cursed the tree, and it withered and died. You say, well, that's a little harsh, but he was trying to teach a lesson to his disciples. The lesson that he wanted to teach his disciples is that it was important to produce fruit. If you're not producing fruit, you're not any worth to the kingdom. And so this is an important lesson, and Jesus taught it from the very beginning of his ministry. In Mark 1:17, this is what he says, "Come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." He says, if you are following me, you will fish for men. If you are following me, if you're walking with me, you're going to have an impact on the community that you're in. And then as he's wrapping up his ministry in Acts 1:8, he says, "The power of the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you, and you will be my witnesses." Do you get that? He says, you will be. You will be a fisher of men. It doesn't say it might happen, but what he was really getting at there is that it would happen. So what I want to give you today is my sermon in a sentence. And if you can remember this, you can remember it, okay? Christ followers produce fruit. Have you got that? Christ followers produce fruit. Can you say that with me? Christ followers produce fruit. That is exactly what we're going to talk about today. And we're going to be going to the parable of the sowers, or the parable of the soil, in Mark 4. And the parable starts out in verse 3. It says, listen. Listen is what he says. And he says, there was a man sowing seed. And some of the seed falls along the hard path that's been trampled down underfoot. And when the seed hits it, you know what happens? It doesn't penetrate the earth. The birds come along and they pick it up. And then he says there's a second type of soil, and it's a rocky soil. And when the seed falls to the rocky soil, can I tell you what it does? It starts in a hurry, but what happens next is it wilts because it doesn't have a good nutrients. It doesn't get the soil that it needs because it's filled with rocks. And then the third type of soil it has the cares of life. It has thorns, and the thorns choke out. And so as he is teaching this parable, he tells them that, and this is what he says at the beginning of the parable in Mark 4:3. He says, listen, and then in Mark 9, he says, those of you all that have ears, hear. Check on the side of your head right now. If you got ears, you know what? You need to hear this just as they did. And then just a little bit later in verse 12, this is what he says. He says, they'll be ever perceiving, but not understanding. They're going to hear it, but they're not going to hear. They're going to see it, but they're not going to see. And so as we start to look at this parable, this is what I want you to understand. I want you to understand this, is that it's about listening and hearing and obeying. Listening, hearing, and obeying. That's the first thing, if you're taking notes, you can write down, is to listen, hear, and obey. Listen, hear, and obey. He says, listen in 4:3. Then he says, if you have ears, hear. And he says, don't be like everybody else that see and they hear, but they don't pay any attention. I don't know if this ever happened to any of y'all. Growing up, my mom would say this to me. She said, Michael, will you take the garbage out? Now, I was watching educational TV at the time. That would have been the Flintstones or the Roadrunner. And I would continue to sit there. And then a few minutes later, she would say, Michael, I ask you to take the garbage out. I said, Mom, I'm watching educational TV. Give me a couple of minutes. I'll get it done. And then a few minutes later, she would come by and she'd say, Michael, are you hard of hearing? And I would naturally say, what? And I would say, in just a minute, and then a few minutes later, she would come back, she'd say, Michael Dwayne Wears. At that point, I knew her flip-flop was coming off because I'm about to receive some motivation to get up and go and take care of that. But that can be us, can it? When we read God's Word. When we read God's Word and it doesn't sink into our heart. When we don't listen, when we don't hear, and when we don't obey. And so that's the beginning of this, and that's what you're going to see throughout this parable, is every single time when it talks about the explanation that Jesus gives us, it is about hearing. And that hearing means that it goes in our ears, goes into our hearts, and comes out in our actions. So that's the first thing, is listen, obey, and hear. The second thing that I want us to do today is to look at the condition of our hearts. You remember what Jesus said? He said, out of the overflow of the heart speaks the mouth. Out of the overflow of the heart comes our action. And Solomon says in Proverbs 4 and 23, he says, guard your hearts because it's the wellspring of life. Guard your hearts because it's the wellspring of life. I want you to understand this, is that our heart plays an important part. And what I want us to look at today is to look at our hearts. But I thought before we did that, I want us just to take a minute to remember this prayer that David gave us in Psalm 139, verse 23. It says this, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Did you catch that? Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Would you read that with me? This is our prayer today. We want God to show us the condition of our heart. So let's read it together. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Father, right now, we just ask you to come and show us in our heart. Holy Spirit, we invite you into this place to convict or to comfort. Father, to help us with our hearts and see if we have any heart trouble that is to keep us from producing fruit. So, Father, right now, work in us. Help us to see what Jesus is getting at in this parable. Help us, Father. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The first type of heart that Jesus talks about here is the hard heart. The hard heart. Now, if you read Scripture, you know that the hard heart is mentioned throughout the Bible. But when Jesus gets to the explanation, you find it in verse 14. And this is what he said. He says, the farmer, sows the word, okay? So you understand the seed is the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown with them. With a hard heart, God's word can't penetrate. It just bounces off. A hard heart is a bad thing to have. When it's you have that hard heart, it just doesn't allow God to any room to get in there. In fact, I will tell you this. The scripture tells us that a hard heart really changes how we think. And I think we're seeing that in our world today. Let me read to you what Paul says about the hard heart. He says this in Ephesians 4:18. He says, "They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of their ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts." Do you see what that says? Their thinking changed because of a hard heart. You know, let me just kind of give you some ideas about maybe if you have a hard heart. If you watch the news in the evening, the national news, and it doesn't break your heart, if it doesn't move you when you see about shootings, when you see about corruption, when you see about all the things that are going on in our world, that might be a sign that you have a hard heart. If you've shown up at church week after week, and you've been in God's Word, and your life hasn't changed any, can I tell you that might be a sign of a hard heart? If sin doesn't bother you, whether it's yours or whether it's somebody else's, if it doesn't bother you, you might have a hard heart. Okay? And a hard heart doesn't produce fruit. And Christ followers do what? They produce fruit. So that's the first heart condition. And maybe just a little part of your heart has that heart condition. But let's go on to the second one, and that is the shallow heart. In the shallow heart, there is a quick start. The seed starts in a hurry, but it doesn't have any root. And when the pressure comes, when the heat comes, it wilts. Those are people that hear the word, but they don't last long. Let me read to you what Jesus says about it. He says, Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. We've all seen people, haven't we, who will make great proclamation about their faith. And they'll say, I'm all in, and a couple of months later, they're gone. They'll accept Christ, they'll be baptized, and then they're gone in a few weeks. I will tell you, one of the hardest things for youth ministry is they will watch their young people rededicate their lives year after year at a conference or at camp and run right back to the same thing when they get home. It's hard. And you know what that's caused from? Because it didn't have enough root to really get the nutrients and to get the water that it needed. And what happens is that when the pressure comes, when the friends produce pressure, when there's that peer pressure, you know what happens? They wilt and they fall apart. That's a hard place. Yesterday I did a funeral in Milledgeville. That's where my wife and I have just moved from. And it was a family, I will tell you, they have had some pressure and heat on them. 6 years ago, I buried their son, who had taken his own life. The mother in this family had been bedridden for over 8 years, and she passed away this past week. And I will tell you, it just seems like Satan was throwing rocks in their garden time after time after time. But what Jeff and Tanya do is they would throw the rocks out, and their roots were deep. And despite all that they had been through, they were using it for the glory of God. They were showing the love of God. That's why you want deep roots, because it will help you produce fruit. And they produced fruit in every hospital they went to. They produced fruit with people they didn't know when they shared the story of their son. We want deep roots, and shallow roots with those rocks in it just won't do. The third condition of the heart is the busy heart. I think every single one of us can maybe understand this. Anybody in here busy? We talk about it a lot, don't we? The busy heart. And as I think about the busy heart, this is what Jesus says about it. He says, "Still others, like the seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful." Do you realize Jesus gave three things there that will cause us to be busy? The first one is the worries of life. I'm going to confess my sin to you right now. I am a worrier. Okay? I can worry about anything. I can worry about money. I can worry about my car. I can worry about my house, my retirement, or lack of with the market going down. I can worry about that. Okay? And that consumes us, and it takes our eyes off of God. And so I tell you, that's one of the things that will make us busy. We get busy worrying. The second thing that will cause us to do that is the deceitfulness of wealth. We think if I have the stuff of earth, if I am wealthy, I will be happy. I know lots of wealthy people, and they are some of the unhappiest people I've met. Okay, that won't do. And then the last one, he just talks about there the desire for more. Have you ever said this? If only I had. If only I had a Porsche, I could be happy. If only I had a nice boat, I could be happy. If only I had a Lamborghini, I could be happy. I could go right on down the list there. But this is what I want you to hear here. All those things make us busy and steal our time from God. And if you're too busy to spend time with God, it's hard. I heard it put this way, and it's an interesting comment. It says, if the devil can't make you bad, he will make you busy. Ouch. I battled as a minister at the church I was in is the busyness. People with their children in sports, people with their toys on the lake, people with their houses at the beach, and they never had time for God. They would show up maybe once every 3 months, and they were regular attenders because they were once every 3 months. The busyness. But let me give you a warning. Your church people, did you know that the same thing is very dangerous for us? We can get so busy doing church things that we don't spend time with Jesus. Are you with me here? I heard it put this way. We spend too much time in the kingdom and not enough time with the King. Some of you are nodding your heads. Yeah. You know that can happen. As a minister, I had to battle that because I could spend so much time in the kingdom that it would keep me from time with the King. That's what's important. That's what helps us breeze through. Let me tell you about the last one. The last heart is this. It's a productive heart. And this is what Jesus says about the productive heart. He says, others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word and accept it, produce a crop, some 30, some 60, and some 100 times what was sown. Boy, that's what I want to be. I want to be that producing plant that brings glory to God. Let me tell you how that happens. You find it in John 15 and verse 5. He says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Did you catch that? We will not do anything if we are not spending time with Jesus Christ, if we are not remaining in him, if we are not helping him. So, I just ask you, what's the condition of your heart? What's the condition of your heart? And let the Holy Spirit speak to you in this moment and be honest about it. Some of your heart might be hard. Some people have a hard heart when it comes to giving. Some people have a hard heart when it comes to spending time in God's Word. Some people have shallow hearts. A part of their heart will be shallow, and there'll be other parts that will be rocky and just filled with weeds. But let me give you a few hints on how to improve the condition of your heart. If you've got heart trouble, these three things will help you. The very first one is simply to pray. Simply to pray. If you will pray about the condition of your heart, God will begin to work. When you pray, you release the power of God. Okay? Into your heart. I used to have a rototiller. Anybody in here have a rototiller? It's one of those things you walk behind and it brings up the soil and it brings up the rocks that are there. It makes it easy to pull the weeds. It loosens it. It vibrates you like crazy and you do that. That's prayer. Prayer is the rototiller in our lives. And what it does is this. What it does is this, is that it helps us get the rocks and the weeds and loosen the soil. I read this as I was preparing, and this is what it says. It says, is your heart calloused? If so, I bet your knees are tender. But if your knees are calloused from prayer, I'll bet your heart is tender. Let me read that to you again. Is your heart calloused? If so, I'll bet your knees are tender. But if your knees are calloused from prayer, I bet your heart is tender. David's simple prayer from Psalm 51 in verse 10. Create in me a new heart, a pure heart, God, and renew a steadfast spirit in me. Create in me a new heart. Pray that prayer for your heart and let God do the work. The second thing I would tell you that if you want to have a better heart is simply to let God's word work. Let God's word work. You know what it says in Hebrews, the fourth chapter? It says, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Spend some time in God's word and use it as a mirror. And when it shows you something that's not right in your life, then you throw that rock out or you pull that weed and it will break up the soil. The third way that we get our hearts strong is that we ask for help. I've heard it said that heart work is hard work. Heart work is hard work. And simply by that, I mean that you need other people to help you. I was going through the website, and you guys have all sorts of groups here at First Baptist that you can become a part of. You know, there's the men's groups that are meeting. There's the women's groups. There's the Bible studies that will happen right after this. And I simply say to you, get in a group. You can't do it alone. And it's so important that we do that. This is what 1 Timothy 2:22 says. It says, flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. This is what I would say to you. Soul care is a team sport. If you're not in a group, if you're not asking people to help you with your heart, I would have you to understand this. You're only going to grow so much. You need people that can speak truth to you. Three things to get your heart right. Pray, get into God's word, and ask for help. Kathy and I lived in Daytona Beach area before we moved here, and we had this tree in our yard. I knew it was a fruit tree, but I didn't know what type of fruit it had on it. So this is so I was ready to get the chainsaw out. I'll just tell you, okay? I was ready to cut it down because it was just taking up space. But somebody recommended, said, why don't you take a couple of leaves down to the local nursery and ask them what you can do? And maybe it will produce fruit. And I was skeptical, but I did that. And I went down to the local nursery. He gave me a bag of stuff. And this dude said, dig around the roots and put this in and water it in. And probably in about 3 or 4 months, you'll begin to see fruit. I was a little skeptical. I didn't think it would be that easy. And so I got the stuff, did all the things that he said to do. And in about 3 or 4 months, you know what I had? I had limes. We had these little limes on our tree. And they are the best limes that we could ever imagine. When we left, our tree was full of limes. Why? Because we took the time to dig around the roots. Listen to what Jesus says. He says, then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, for 3 years now, I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil? Sir, the man said, leave it alone for one more year. I'll dig around it and fertilize it. It bears fruit. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down. This is what I believe. This is what I believe, church. Our God has given us one more year. And it's time that we as Christ followers produce fruit. And I don't want to be cut down and thrown into the fire. I want to produce fruit that will bring glory and honor to my King. And to do that, I have to do some heart work. And when I do that, my King will be glorified. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for this parable. We thank you for this word. And I just ask now that, Father, we would hear, we would listen and obey. Father, show us the condition of our hearts. Help us that we might know what needs to be done so that we can produce much fruit, so that we can bring you much honor. Father, I thank you. I thank you that you've entrusted to us your word. And I pray now that we can go from this place praising and glorifying you and producing fruit for your glory. Father, I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.